Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most practical and exam-relevant topics in your GCSE business course, recruitment and selection of employees. Now, I know what you might be thinking. It's just about hiring people. How hard can it be? But trust me, examiners absolutely love this topic. It comes up in almost every paper, and candidates who really understand it, who can evaluate, compare, and apply their knowledge to a business scenario, are the ones picking up those top marks. So here's what we're going to cover today. We'll start with why businesses recruit in the first place, then walk through the full recruitment and selection process step by step. After that, we'll look at internal versus external recruitment, and this is a big one for evaluation questions. Then we'll cover the different types of employment contracts. And finally, I'll give you my top exam tips, walk you through some common mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. Grab a pen because you'll want to jot a few things down. Let's get started. So, first things first, why do businesses need to recruit? There are several reasons a vacancy might arise. An existing employee might leave, they retire, resign, or sadly pass away. The business might be expanding and needs more staff to cope with increased demand. Or a role might change so significantly that the business needs someone with new skills. Whatever the reason, the goal of recruitment is always the same: to find the right person for the right role at the right time. Now let's walk through the recruitment and selection process. Think of it as a six-step journey. Step one is the job analysis. Before you can hire anyone, you need to understand exactly what the job involves. What tasks will this person do? What skills do they need? What hours will they work? This analysis forms the foundation for everything that follows. Step two is writing the job description. This is a document that describes the job itself, the title, the duties and responsibilities, the location, the hours, and the pay. Examiners want you to know that a job description is about the job, not the person. Step three is the person specification. This is where it flips. Now you're describing the ideal candidate. What qualifications do they need? What experience? What personal qualities? The person specification is used to shortlist applicants and design interview questions. Step four is advertising the vacancy. The business decides where to advertise, and this links directly to whether they're recruiting internally or externally, which we'll come to in a moment. Step five is shortlisting and selection. Applications come in, CVs, application forms, covering letters, and the business compares them against the person specification to create a shortlist. Then they use selection methods, interviews, tests, assessment centers, or work trials to choose the best candidate. Step six is appointment and induction. The successful candidate is offered the job, a contract is signed, and the induction process begins, helping the new employee settle in and understand the business. Now, one of the most important distinctions in this topic is internal versus external recruitment. Internal recruitment means filling a vacancy from within the existing workforce, promoting someone, or moving them sideways into a new role. The advantages? It's cheaper and faster. No expensive job adverts or recruitment agencies needed. The candidate is already known to the business, so there's less risk. And it can be a great motivator for existing staff because they can see there are opportunities to progress. But there are disadvantages too. You have a much smaller pool of candidates. You're only choosing from people already in the business. It creates another vacancy elsewhere because the person being promoted leaves their old role. And crucially, it brings no fresh ideas or new perspectives into the business. External recruitment means advertising outside the business, on job websites like Indeed or Reed, in newspapers, through recruitment agencies, or on the company's own website. The advantages here are significant. You have access to a much wider talent pool, potentially hundreds or thousands of applicants. You can bring in new skills, fresh ideas, and different experiences that the business currently lacks. And there are no internal politics, no jealousy from colleagues who weren't chosen. The disadvantages? It's more expensive. Advertising, agency fees, and the time spent interviewing all cost money. It takes longer. And there's a higher risk of making the wrong hire because you don't know the candidate as well as you'd know an internal one. Now let's talk about employment contracts. Once someone is hired, they need a contract, a legally binding agreement between the employer and employee. There are four main types you need to know. A full-time contract typically means working around 35 to 40 hours per week. The employee receives a regular salary, full benefits like holiday pay and pension contributions, and generally has greater job security. For the business, full-time staff are fully committed and available, which is great for roles that require consistency. A part-time contract means working fewer than 35 hours per week. This is flexible for employees, great for parents, students, or people with other commitments. For businesses, it reduces wage costs and allows them to cover specific hours like evenings or weekends without paying for a full-time employee. A job share is when two part-time employees share one full-time role. They split the hours, responsibilities, and salary between them. This maintains full-time coverage for the business while offering flexibility for the workers. And finally, zero-hours contracts. These are controversial but very common in sectors like hospitality, retail, and care. Under a zero-hours contract, the employer is not obliged to offer any minimum number of hours, and the employee is not obliged to accept any hours offered. This gives the business maximum flexibility. They only call staff in when needed, but for the worker, it means uncertain income and difficulty planning their life. Examiners often ask you to evaluate whether zero-hours contracts are good for businesses, and the answer depends on the context. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. The first thing to understand is command words. If the question says state or identify, you just need to name something. One or two words is enough. If it says explain, you need to make a point and develop it. Tell the examiner why or how. If it says analyze, go deeper. Explore the impact, the consequences, the chain of reasoning. And if it says evaluate or discuss, you must consider both sides and reach a justified conclusion. A really common mistake I see is candidates writing advantages and disadvantages without linking them to the specific business in the question. Examiners call this generic, and it will cost you marks. Always ask yourself, given this particular business, which option makes more sense and why? For example, if a question describes a small family-run bakery with 5 employees and asks whether they should use internal or external recruitment, think about it. With only 5 employees, internal recruitment gives them a tiny pool. External recruitment makes more sense here, even though it costs more, because they need to find someone with the right skills from outside. That's the kind of contextualized reasoning that earns top marks. Another common pitfall, confusing a job description with a person specification. Remember, job description is about the job. Person specification is about the person. Examiners will specifically test this distinction. On evaluation questions worth 6 marks or more, always structure your answer. Make a point, explain it, give evidence or an example, then evaluate. Does this point outweigh the counterargument? Finish with a clear conclusion that directly answers the question. And one more tip. When writing about zero-hours contracts, don't just say they're bad for workers. Acknowledge the business perspective, too. For a seasonal business like a ski resort or a summer ice cream shop, zero-hours contracts make perfect sense. Show the examiner you can think like a business person. Okay, time for the quickfire quiz. I'll ask the question. Pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear it. Question 1. What is the difference between a job description and a person specification? Answer. A job description describes the job, duties, hours, pay. A person specification describes the ideal candidate, qualifications, skills, experience. Question 2. Give 2 advantages of internal recruitment. Answer. It's cheaper and faster, and the candidate is already known to the business. Question 3. What is a zero-hours contract? Answer. A contract where the employer does not guarantee any minimum number of hours of work. Question 4. Name 3 stages of the recruitment and selection process. Answer. Any 3 from job analysis, job description, person specification, advertising the vacancy, shortlisting, selection, appointment, induction. Question 5. Give 1 advantage of external recruitment over internal recruitment. Answer. Access to a wider pool of candidates, bringing in new skills and fresh ideas. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section before your exam. Let's bring it all together. Recruitment and selection is about finding the right person for the right role. The process starts with job analysis and ends with appointment and induction. Businesses can recruit internally, cheaper and faster, but limited pool, or externally, wider choice, but more expensive and time-consuming. Employment contracts come in four main types: full-time, part-time, job share, and 0 hours. Each suits different business needs and circumstances, and examiners will ask you to evaluate which is most appropriate for a given scenario. The golden rule for this topic in the exam: always apply your answer to the specific business in the question. Generic answers get low marks. Contextualized, evaluative answers get top marks. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn in the exam is a mark you've worked for. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.